Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. And joining me here in Studio A to talk a little bit about the San Juan County Partnership, Executive Director Anna Kretzky is here this morning. Good morning. Welcome back to KSJE.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Good to have you here. And Amanda Evans is here as well from the San Juan County Partnership. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Welcome back to KSJE.
Nice to be here.
This morning we would just want to talk a little bit about the, a lot about the organization and the San Juan County Partnership, which has been a part of the community for, almost
since
30 years?
Yeah, since 1991.
Okay, so I was pretty close. Mm-hmm. Yeah, more than 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And it really has made a difference, I think, in San Juan County with the programs and the things that you're able to offer. And that's kind of why we're all here this morning to talk a bit about the organization and what it is that you do and your mission of the San Juan County Partnership to really bring people and groups together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we're a community action organization that really is focused on prevention, education, and community wellness, which encompasses our mission, and really try to identify what are the needs in the community through regular needs assessments that we work on completing every 4 years to try to really capture the voices of the people of the county and mm-hmm. from across the county and understand what those needs are and what we're seeing for trends of concerns around basic community wellness and try to meet those needs through grant initiatives.
And a lot of that is really local, which is what another thing that I like. It's not from the Rio Grande Corridor, nothing against the Rio Grande Corridor. We love the Rio Grande Corridor. Some of my best friends live in the Rio Grande Corridor. However, it's always nice to know what's going on outside of the Rio Grande Corridor, and that's what this needs assessment and a lot of other things that you all do reflects.
Absolutely. We focus 100% on San Juan County. Some of the work we do will bring in people from McKinley County, and we support them as well because they are right next door, and we do have a lot of people who go back and forth.
Sure.
But our focus really is San Juan County completely.
Right. And many times I would think the data that you gather and collect is somewhat, sometimes significantly different than data from the major metro areas.
Absolutely. Albuquerque and Santa Fe are their own world, separate
no
from what's happening.
Get myself in trouble.
In our region. Yeah, we really are our own microcosm with our own needs and own information and own wants from the members of the community. And that is our focus and will remain our focus when we look at strategic planning and trying to identify what we want to support, what we who we want to partner with in the community to really meet those basic needs around prevention work and community wellness.
Right.
We look right here.
Right. Very true. Amanda, I want to bring you into the conversation too about some of this data that's being used to maybe more fine-tune some of the offerings and some of the grant opportunities that the partnership maybe goes after to really meet the needs of what is reflected in these needs assessments and things that Anna was talking about.
Right, because the data is really what can point us to where we want to go and also give us kind of the background to be able to get that funding that we need to be able to do some of these programs. We have to kind of prove to funders that what we're asking for is a need in the community, so that data is kind of the backdrop for that, and it gives us a way to show what the community needs and then a way gives us avenues to address it.
Right. And Anna talked a lot about prevention, which is a big message from the San Juan County Partnership, and that has an audience of young and old alike.
runs the gamut from the very young to people who are retired and coming to the other end of life.
Right.
And we try to recognize all of those needs with our prevention programming specifically.
Yes. True. And you work a lot, I know, with the schools, as you are able to, right, to be able to get some of that message into younger minds, and as they're starting to make some decisions and maybe new habits, whether they're good habits or bad habits, getting that message to them is really important at that stage in their life.
Absolutely. Working with the schools is one of the most important things that we do, because, you know, that generation, we need to support them, help them learn how to be healthy, how to be in their community, you know, how can they support continued growth and healthy living within San Juan County. Some of those initiatives would be talking to school personnel, talking to teachers, talking to youth, talking to parents. You know, what are your concerns? What do we need to be paying attention to? You know, is that around tobacco cessation? Is it around educating around vaping, which we have done a lot? And, you know, do we need to work on more education around cannabis, which is for adult use only over 21, you know, safety around prescription medications, you know, what are the concerns with illicit substances, you know, within our community, you know, that we need to educate people and teach people how to be smart and not be in a place that is going to be harmful to themselves.
Right. Very true. Amanda, what would you say about, I mean, I don't know how many grant programs the partnership has that work with school-aged children, but it's significant.
Right, and that's a big thing, because we know, you know, one of the facts that we really integrate into most of our presentations is that the youth brain doesn't stop growing until about the age of 25. And so what we really want youth to understand is we're not just trying to be the bad guy and say, oh, don't do this activity. We're trying to protect them and make them understand that it has lifelong consequences if you're using some of these substances before your brain has stopped growing. So that's why we say, you know, adult use on some of these, an adult use alcohol or adult use cannabis is different than youth use, because your brain is at a different place in growth. So there's some still responsibility to adults in some of these situations, but youth have some long-lasting effects that adults might not get.
Right. And again, being able to talk to these kids, school-aged kids in school or adjacent to school or whatever the case may be, really is helpful, and that's the time they need to hear that message, I would think, as their brains are still developing.
Right, and they're still forming those ideas. We get so many of our beliefs and ideas about these substances from not just our family, which is a huge portion, that's why we also involve parents, but also from the media, from television shows, from all these different avenues that may be giving them a message that isn't always accurate on the dangers of the substance to their bodies. Because, you know, we see alcohol commercials, we do a lot, some media stuff teaching them about how media can affect what we think about it. And so we have, you know, looking at alcohol or tobacco ads and seeing that they're really selling a product. They're not telling you all the dangers that go along with it.
Right. That media literacy. So important, I think, for young people. And there's some adults I know that could use probably a lesson in media literacy as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say one of the things that we really focus on, too, is positive norms and recognizing that actually most people and most youth are not using illegal substances. And most people and, you know, adults and youth are safe and, you know, have aspirations to be healthy and not interested in tobacco use or adult cannabis use or dangerous drinking. So that's really important that we continue to get those messages out into the community. And Amanda really does a lot of the work for us, focusing on the media components and working to address that. And one of the things we have is a website that's called Be True to Yourself that we're working to increase and sustain long term, that is for youth specifically, to help them have a place where they can learn more about the realities that most youth are not using.
Right, which is, I think, maybe a surprise to some of our mm-hmm. audience who would think, well, I thought every kid was out in the hills on the weekends drinking and doing illegal things and what have you, and here we are telling you that no, most of them are not.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we often hear about the bad things that are happening,
sure.
and we don't often enough hear about actually the good things, and it's the things that you don't hear that aren't spoken of, and most people, you know, are really healthy people and trying to be their best and want to grow up and do really good things in their communities.
Right. But again, to your credit, the San Juan County Partnership has done a marketing campaign to remind us about the majority of kids who are making the right choices and that they're not doing the wrong thing or making the wrong
Absolutely.
Choices. And that's, I think, important to remind us because you're right. The media, I think, plays a role in some of that.
Absolutely.
Because if somebody, you know, does something bad, obviously that's going to be news and newsworthy. There's,
mm-hmm.
I understand that. I think everyone does. But to maybe understand that that's not representative of the entire teenage population or tween population or
Absolutely.
Whatever we're talking about.
Absolutely.
And that's really important.
Yes.
And Amanda, I know you, as Anna was saying, you've done a lot of work in this as well, and that's really important to remind all of us that most kids are doing the right thing.
Right, and that's coming from them saying that themselves. Like the data that we use is from the YRS, which is the Youth Risk and Resiliency Survey, and that's done consistently in the schools. And so we actually use, again, we go back to San Juan County data, not just statewide data, and they are the ones answering these questions saying, I'm not using on the weekends, you know. And so we take those numbers and then we translate that into a message that can be put out there, reminding them even that, you know, they may hear all the stories at school or something about all the kids that are partying on the weekends or doing this or that. And really, some of that may not be true. It's a perception. And so we want to remind them that, you know, you guys are answering these questions. You're telling us what's true and what's not true. And so we can use that to make messages that really reinforce the good choices those kids are making.
Right, right. Very true. I want to ask you too, Amanda, about that media literacy that Anna was talking about and how important that is. And I know I've seen examples of maybe some print advertisements and the kids were being asked to kind of look at those and see what maybe the message was supposed to be and what techniques were being used to get individuals, both adults and kids, maybe to buy that product.
We do. We have classes going on right now, like at the Boys and Girls Club and different locations throughout the county. And they actually spend time not just looking at the media, but in the end, they end up creating their own kind of counter ads, is what we call them, to where it has the information that's kind of more true. Because we look at, you know, maybe we compare it to a prescription drug ad where you get all the symptoms at the end, like this can cause, you know, 50 different side effects.
Sure, right.
Right. And so you might add in some of that to alcohol to an alcohol ad and say, well, here's also the dangers that you're not talking about, or what is that underlying message that you're trying to teach. And so the kids really get hands-on experience being able to not just identify it but put it into practice as well.
Right. And again, a lot of these programs that we're talking about are grant funded, and in fact I would think most of them probably are, and maybe they're repeated grant funded, and based on the data that you provide back to these funders, and I don't think you'd keep getting these grants if these funders didn't think you were doing and getting results,
yeah.
Right?
No, absolutely. Actually, you know, one of the things that is pretty amazing, if you look at the data, especially over the past 30 years, we are seeing a decrease in alcohol usage, drinking and driving, a decrease in tobacco use, significant. We don't know about vaping right now. We need to get more accurate data.
That's relatively new, though, right?
It is fairly new in terms of tracking.
Yeah, it's
fairly new product. So, you know, we're all sort of trying to wrap our heads around, and there's a lot of new science around the dangers as well. So we're trying to wrap our heads around that and get that information out into the community. But we are a 100% grant-funded organization. Currently, we have 19 grants, so it varies. And half of those grants are around prevention. We receive funding from federal grants, from state grants, from the city of Farmington, and sometimes we work very closely with the county, but sometimes there's funding directly from them,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with some grant funding as well. So we really look to maximize and diversify that funding stream in order to continue to do the good work we're doing.
Right. Very true. But what I'm hearing from you is that slowly you are putting yourselves out of business.
If things are going down. Absolutely. The ultimate goal is that we would no longer need prevention because people just take care of themselves, have healthy lifestyles, have all of their needs met, and we can all just be happy citizens.
Right. But human nature being what it is, I think you're going to be around for a long time, you and I, and talking.
Yep, I think so.
All of us, but that's okay. But it's nice to see these numbers going in the right direction.
It is. And then we can start to fine-tune, you know, where is that messaging that we need to really focus on? What does that look like? You know, what do we need to look at next? And so all of the data that we collect from various sources across the state and within the county, and we do highlight all of these so everybody can look at this data and utilize it themselves at sanjuancountydata.org.
Right. Very good. And there's a lot in there, I think,
if you go poke around on that website. Yes. And there's even trainings on the site in order to learn how to find data yourselves from different places to access.
Right. But you mentioned DWIs and things like that. I think anyone who's lived in the community for over 20 years probably remembers 20 years ago, 25 years ago, the number of just families that were devastated by drunk driving crashes and injuries or deaths in this community. And we're so grateful, I'm going to knock on my table, that we don't have that much of a problem. It's still a problem.
It is still a problem.
Not as much as we did.
But it has significantly gotten better. You know, law enforcement has done an amazing job of stepping up and finding ways to support it. And then we, in turn, really work to support their efforts and make sure that people understand that it is a risk and that it is not safe to drink and drive.
Right. And some of the treatment, some of the other community things, the judges, I think everybody has gotten on the same page on this problem.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it has been a community-wide effort that has, sort of when you think of the partnership and you think of the name partnership, the partners have really come together to do an amazing job to try to save lives.
Right. And it did.
And
they
are. It is, and it is happening.
Right.
Yes.
And still today. So very, very good. Amanda Evans, I want to come back to you and talk about another area that the partnership is somewhat involved with and you and I talk about frequently, which is the San Juan Health Council. That's a bit related to the San Juan County Partnership, is it not?
It is. So the San Juan County Partnership, years and years ago, probably over 20, I don't have an exact date, but started as the fiscal agent for the Health Council and has been just amazing on allowing us to continue that. Even on some years when we don't have funding, it has really been a community effort to keep that program going. And so what the San Juan County San Juan Health Council is a countywide group that meets together monthly and brings issues around health to a network of organizations, community members, and tries to address some of those issues and finds ways we can make a difference, even through some simple stuff like networking at meetings and bringing organizations who might need to make connections together. And so that has been a program that the partnership has been integral in keeping going over the years and has really helped strengthen.
Very good. And that seems like, Anna Kretzky, that it dovetails pretty nicely with some of the ongoing work of the partnership.
Absolutely. Again, you know, it's the partnership is really focused on any way possible in order to further the mission. And the Health Council is an incredibly integral part of what we've been doing for many, many years now, and it does give us an opportunity to find another way, either through funding or just through community partnership and support, to focus on what the community is saying that we need based on the data. And so we work collaboratively with many other organizations in the county at the Health Council to look at what do we want to focus on. You know, oftentimes it's, and this is a continual issue, is resource sharing. You know, how do we get out to the community, you know, all the resources that are available, and they're changing, you know. So the Health Council is one way to invite new organizations to come in and talk about what they're doing, and also give a place that we can take their information and disseminate it around the community. and support those initiatives.
Right.
So super important.
Very important. And glad that it's a part that you both are partners together.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm trying to say over here. That's true. One of the things I wanted to mention, too, is the conference that the partnership helps to put together, and that is the Creating Cultural Harmony Conference, and that is something that's been ongoing now for, again, decades.
Absolutely.
Celebrating the multiculturalness of our region.
Absolutely. It's one of our most, it's one of the most fun events to be part of. We do one every 2 years, and we look to the community to see what the needs are around training and cultural diversity and celebration of culture. You know, we work really closely with the city of Farmington, and try to bring together a group of people every couple of years to talk about who would we like to present, you know, what would we like our focus to be, and what are the training needs. So at that particular event, we offer continuing education credits, so CEUs for preventionists mm-hmm. in the community, or from across anywhere they want to come in the state of New Mexico, and for social workers and counselors and substance use providers, we also offer those continuing education units to support their licensure in the community. And we try to keep it at a reasonable price. It's a full 6 hours of continuing education, and we definitely are in terms of the cost per individual, significantly under any other full day
True. Right.
event.
Right, which is great.
Yeah.
And again, Amanda Evans, I know you've worked on the conference too, and been a part of the conference over the years. It really is an important event in the community.
Yeah, people are always asking, you know, when is the next one? What are you doing? Because I do think people really look forward to it. And I think it's really grown over the years to something that's not just educational, but fun as well. You know, one of them, we had somebody come in and show how to do weaving, and people got something to take home with them. And so it's not just about like sitting in a classroom style and learning maybe something, but it's about getting hands-on interactions with the community and with these speakers, and getting to really understand some of the cultural diversity here.
Right. And that's what I think is so important as well. And this area has not always had the best track record when it comes to celebrating our diversity and things along that line. I think we've come a very long way, and it's really important to celebrate that, and also to recognize the different cultures that make up the rich tapestry of San Juan County and the San Juan Basin and the whole Four Corners region, which is what this conference does every
Absolutely.
2 years.
Absolutely. That is our focus. We try to stay really positive, and it's really a celebration. So it is educational, mm-hmm. but it is also celebratory. So we try to incorporate maybe local foods, art, music, dance, and really put a spotlight on really the amazing pieces of the diversity within our region.
Right. Let me ask both of you, when you travel around the state or around the region to other states and talk about the work that you do you find similar organizations in other places? Are we somewhat unique in having an organization like the San Juan County Partnership here, Anna?
I would say that we are very unique. I think people are really surprised. You know, and I think sort of the broad, our broad mission allows us to really have that level of diversity, and it opens us up to opportunity based on what the community's needs are. We also have a significant housing assistance program as well that is really almost another half. And again, that's really focused on prevention of people experiencing homelessness or
right.
who are at risk of homelessness. So really equally important. And I have not actually encountered one other organization that sort of bridges these multifaceted elements of community need that the partnership does.
Interesting. They may have similar programs, but they're separate, perhaps,
Correct.
Not under an umbrella.
Correct.
Or coordinated like we have.
Correct, right.
Gotcha. Amanda, what about in your travels?
I think there's a lot of different organizations out there, so I don't want to say I've never seen something similar, but I do think we have a very unique perspective here because we do have such a collaborative effort that the partnership is not just the staff at the partnership, but it's also all these other organizations that work with us, law enforcement, the county, the city, even just, you know, some of the other nonprofits. We come together for not just the Health Council, we also have the Community Action Coalition, which is a meeting that's, it's a little different from the Health Council because it's just focused on substance use issues. But that brings together treatment, intervention, prevention, just community people who are interested in those subjects. And so we do have a very strong collaborative effort throughout the community that I do think is missing from some other places, but I do think is really special to our community.
Yeah, I do too. And I'm so glad Anna brought up the housing program because I think that's so important because we always hear in our community that there is a lack of affordable housing. And when we talk, when I talk to folks moving into the community, they're just wondering, where do I find apartment, a house, something that I can afford for me, right, for my family, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, it is a, it is, it's so big, it's hard to even sort of encompass, you know, where to start. So, you know, the work we do is really focused on that prevention component, trying to prevent people from needing to be in a shelter or needing to find people to live with. We are certainly just chipping away. You know, we cannot meet all the need, but we work really hard collaboratively with other organizations in the county and across the state to try to address these issues and find some solutions. And we all know that we need more housing. We just don't have enough, and we don't have enough that's affordable. And that's a struggle. So we need business to come in and support the growth. Because I think this community is starting to grow again. And so, you know, what does that look like? And how do we encourage people to build places for people to live?
Very true. Very true. But even with the folks you are able to help, there are some great, I think, success stories.
Absolutely.
Of folks who are living in their car or families who are living in a van or whatever, now with a roof over their heads.
Yes. We are busier than ever. We do a huge amount of work to connect with local landlords from some of the larger property management organizations and individual property owners who may have a second place on their land or who just rent out several properties. So we do a lot of networking to try to establish who those individuals are so that we can get people housed as quickly as possible. And we probably house, oh gosh, on average a couple of people a week,
yeah,
believe it or not.
Sure.
I know that
I believe
it might sound crazy. But, you know, we are established enough and we have been working long enough and try to stay connected and have grown our housing program based on the needs that we are seeing and just doing everything we can to get people off the streets.
Right. But again, it goes back to the whole idea of a partnership with public-private entities, these
Correct.
Private landlords and property management folks who work with you
Correct.
To let you know,
yeah.
and you can find them some tenants that want to get a fresh start
Right.
and want to try to rebuild.
And have and we'll have consistent rent. And many of the landlords will work with us you know, because they don't always have their own education and know sort of what some of the rules are because we do
Sure.
receive funding that is federal, and so it's HUD regulated, so we have to follow those rules, and that can be challenging with home inspections, making sure that everything is working within a home, and you know that all the outlets are working, and you know there aren't any issues, that the heat and there's hot water, and that you know the appliances are working correctly, that the exhaust fans in the bathroom, things of that nature, which are actually standard. And we have landlords that are sometimes willing to bring down rent to be within fair market value because they don't necessarily know what that is, but they are able to. So that's
Right.
been really amazing to watch those partnerships grow as well.
Very good. Well, I think we've only scratched the surface of what it is that the San Juan County Partnership does, but we have run out of time. So I thank you both for coming in. And I just want to say on behalf of KSJE, we feel the work of the San Juan County Partnership is so important that they have a standing interview spot with me every month, because it's just so important to get the word out about what you do. So we're glad to be part of the partnership. Thank you.
And we are grateful
what you do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anna Krutzke and Amanda Evans, my guests this morning from the San Juan County Partnership here on KSJE.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.